Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour adventure, later on we hear a Joseph Conrad story on escape, but right now it's John Steele Adventurer. From December 7th, 1954, from the Mutual Broadcasting System, Don Douglas stars in the story, The Cape or the Shroud.
This is John Steele, reporting on Adventure. A friend of mine once said bravery is the lack of fear. Well, that was pretty true, I thought, until I saw lack of fear turn a man into a coward. It's a story of adventure in the Bull Ring of Spain. I call this transcribed yarn The Cape or the Shroud. About 30 kilometers north of Madrid in the province of Castile, Spain, is the ancient town of Segovia, small and antiquated in its way. The people are largely farmers, growing either grapes for wine or olives for oil. They're a placid crowd, except on Saturday afternoons. Then they congregate on the outskirts of town in a small, weather-cracked arena of dusty, dried brick, the Plaza del Toros, the place of the bulls. I'd gone up to Segovia from Madrid for the day and was taking my seat in the plaza when I looked up to see a dark-haired girl with the kind of beauty you find only in Spain. She came closer and sat next to me. I dragged my eyes away from her and saw that she was with a guy.
John Steele. Pedro Montoya.
Steele, good to see you again, John.
Hey, it's been a long time.
Too long. Carmen, may I present John Steele, a very old friend.
How do you do, senor?
Senorita Carmen Del Valle.
Senorita?
36, wasn't it?
Yep, 36, last time I saw you.
I was wounded, dragged out of the war.
Yeah, lost track of you. But what are you up to now?
He, senor, is Pedro Montoya, the greatest torero in Spain.
Hey, no fooling, Pedro. You did it, eh?
Si, John. I am Montoya, the bullfighter.
Hey, I thought the crowd was looking at you, senorita.
They all love my Pedro.
John, have you any plans for after the fight?
Me? I never make plans.
I just thought maybe you would come into Madrid and spend a few days with me, huh?
It's all right. Haven't really done Madrid in years, but I'm going to watch you fight if I have to stay here the whole season. Picadores are finished.
Oh, look, he's awfully young.
Yeah, not much more than a boy.
Attractive.
Who is this young torero, Carmen? I like his performance.
This one is named Montiego de Vaca.
Huh?
I think he is the son of Arturo Cabeza de Vaca.
Aha. He had money behind him.
They call him Tayo.
This Tayo, he has not had to struggle to learn to fight them.
Everybody can't be poor to start.
My kind of fighter started with nothing. I had no time, no money for anything else. I spent my life learning to control the bulls. It's the only way to where I am today.
Well, this one seems different.
See, he handles the bull with ease.
Look, he's seen you. He's bowing.
He is grandstanding.
He's doing the pass in your honor.
He better watch the bull, not me.
Well, this kid seems to know what he's doing.
Look, he has the nerve to imitate my style. Why, he's going...
Yes, your stance. Why, he's going to try your paso de muerte.
A big fool.
You're the only man to ever do it.
He did it.
I never would have believed it if I had not seen it with my own eyes.
No man other than you has done that and lived. He is magnificent. Oh,
I must meet this story. I will arrange for it tonight.
Your wine, senor.
Gracias. Carmen, I will tell you what we are celebrating. Day after tomorrow is my biggest fight.
All your fights are big.
Your biggest, Pedro? How's that?
It is going to be my last fight.
What do you mean, darling?
We can buy that bull ranch and get married, senorita. We live the life of country nobles.
You're quitting?
As for that, I have decided.
And now that you're retiring, you want me to marry you and retire to raise bulls?
Glad I made it to see you fight once, anyway.
I have seen too many young toreros. They get caught up in the bloodlust of the crowd. They go on and on. More is expected of them each time they fight. They devise new thrills for the mob. Then one day, They go too far. They give the crowd what they actually came to see anyway, the execution. No. Not for me.
It will be finished after this one fight, Pedro?
I have made up my mind.
Congratulations, Pedro.
I have made arrangements for our marriage right after the fight.
All these years you have refused to marry me.
When I am living a life that belongs to the mood of the bull, I am in no position to give it to anyone else.
Now that you are retiring, what have you to give me?
Darling Carmen, my love.
Let him relax. Enjoy life, huh?
You are right, Senor Steve. I am sorry, Pedro. Just a surprise, I guess.
It is my pleasure. Senorita and senors, please sit down. Senorita Del Valle and Mr. Steele, Senor De Vaca.
Hello,
Mr. Steele. What a pleasure to finally meet the famous Montoya. And as for you, Senorita, I am speechless before such beauty.
What a pretty little speech, Senor.
Please, call me Tayo.
Wine, Senor De Vaca?
An honor, Senor Steele. To your continued success, Pedro.
Gracias. I asked you to join us because I wanted to congratulate you.
You looked as good as I've ever seen.
Gracias. I have not nearly achieved the finesse and fame of Pedro here, but I tried.
Kid, if anybody's got it, you have.
And your next fight will be in Madrid, no?
Is that so, Senor Tayo?
Si. I have been fortunate.
You are young for such success as this.
Success comes early, or not at all in this business, by Carmen.
That music is wonderful.
Si. Oh, but forgive me. Here we've been talking, and you must want to dance with Carmen.
Oh, Pedro does not dance.
Mr. Steele, then.
Not exactly a Fred Astaire, either. Oh,
I'm sure our young torero dances, and very well, too.
It would be an honor, senorita.
Gracias.
You look concerned, Pedro.
Si, John. They make a good-looking couple. Realize tomorrow is my last fight, and I am getting married right after. Tonight we will do Madrid.
Yeah, we'll do Madrid, but easy, boy, easy. Not too much wine, you know. Remember, you fight tomorrow.
Do not worry, John. Here's our hotel. Please ring Senorita Del Valle's suite.
I am sorry, senor.
Then she'll be right back? She says she'll be right back, maybe?
No, senor.
No?
No, she left dressed for the evening.
For the evening?
Si, senor. With a fine young gentleman.
Who was it?
She left with Senor De Vaca, the young bullfighter.
Tayo.
Si. Wait. Wait, senor. Is there no message?
Some misunderstanding, Pedro. A mistake, that's all.
No, John. There's been no mistake.
Take one man, especially a bullfighter, who has had his ego knocked around by a beautiful dame. Add one bull ring and two large bottles of cognac. The result is predictable and extremely dangerous, especially the night before a bullfight. The next afternoon in Pedro's dressing room under the stands of the old bull ring, I saw the grandpappy of all hangovers.
Oh, I feel awful.
Coffee, huh? Coffee will help.
No. Oh, my head hurts.
Well, don't get mad, but I told you so. Here, cold towel will pick you up.
No time left, John.
You sure you feel up to this, Pedro?
Help me with my sash, huh?
Yeah, spin. Go ahead, spin. I've got the end.
Dizzy.
You want to go out there? Are you okay?
Si. I feel better when I get into the arena.
I don't know.
John, you know something? The next time I step in the ring and meet the bull, I will die.
You'll what?
Today, I will die.
Are you serious?
Certainly, my old friend. The secret to success is fear.
Huh?
When I have fear of the bull, I have command. I dominate the bull because I have fear of him.
Hey, I'm going to call this thing off.
I don't want to die, but I know I will because I have no fear of the bull.
I'm going to tell the manager that you were taken sick.
No, John, I will fight. There's no reason why I should, but also there's no reason why I should not fight. See, I will try. And I will die.
Your eyes show fear.
See, fear of death. But not fear of the bull. See, I'm coming. My cape and sword, please, John. Gracias.
I followed Pedro. I followed him down the long, dark tunnel that led to the arena. The spot of light at the opening grew larger and changed to shocking sunlight and screaming spectators. The sun was hot and getting hotter. I stopped at the fence. Pedro, his face glistening with sweat, walked out into the ring. The crowd grew still as he stood there, eyes slowly circling the faces of the spectators. His eyes said he saw only vultures. He jerked his head away and I followed his dark glance. It stopped and riveted on the bull. The crowd was ominously silent as Pedro stared, little rivulets of sweat running down his temples. He saw the glistening eyes, the massive strength, and the terrible horns, the sharp, treacherous horns, the huge, glistening needles that can tear a man's entrails out and pin him to the boards. The bull came on. A flush ran over Pedro's distorted face as he turned and ran as fast as he could pump his legs. Gotta get off of this kick.
I want another drink.
Now look, liquor's fine. Use it for fun. Liquor's a good thing. This way, no. Gotta cut it out, Pedro.
What do you mean, huh? Want another drink?
The bartender. He won't let you have any more.
Bring him here. I tell him who can drink and who can't.
Couldn't serve you even if he wanted.
He's against the law to serve ex-bullfighters, huh?
Only intoxicated ex-bullfighters.
Who's intoxicated? Who's drunk?
You, my friend.
See, I am drunk, very drunk, John.
Come on, boy. Your hat, you're going home.
And I am going to stay drunk. See, that is what I'm going to do, stay drunk.
You've been doing your best for the last 3 weeks.
And why shouldn't I?
They can make the stuff faster than you can throw it down, you know.
Oh, I've never had such fun, Tayo. Pedro.
Who's that?
Carmen and Tayo.
Carmen, my faithful little querida.
Pedro, you worried me sick.
Worried about your little boy, not me.
Pedro.
I suppose he's been helping you look for me, no?
Yes, Pedro.
Have you looked in all the cafes?
Oh, Pedro, look at you. You haven't shaved in days. How long have you been wearing that shirt, that filthy shirt?
You think a clean shirt and a shave make the man, huh?
Come, Pedro.
We'll take you home. Take your hands off me. Take them off me.
Come on, enough, you two. Cut it out.
Pedro.
Cut it out.
All right. Only trying to help.
That's better.
Go away. You found me. Now leave me alone.
I'll see him home.
Come, Tayo. Let us go.
Si, go on. Get out. Get out, you will. Get out.
I lost touch with Pedro for a few days, but I heard about him. He was down and out. Flat broke. He was drinking too much and not eating.
Waiter. Si, senor, what do you want?
A drink.
You want a drink, senor?
Si, a drink.
To drink, one must have money.
You do not trust me.
I did not say that.
Think I cannot pay, no?
All I said was...
I am Montoya, the bullfighter.
You? You are Pedro Montoya? I am General Franco.
It is true.
You better leave, senor.
I will sure.
You will what?
Remember when Montoya was gored on his arm?
Si, it was in all the papers.
Well, si, the scar. There, you see.
Oh, but, senor, you close your...
A drink, quick.
Oh, but of course, senor, but of course.
Quick, the drink, quick.
Oh, senor, I am so sorry, I...
Another.
Certainly, senor.
Gracias. I did not mean to shout.
Of course.
I just needed a drink.
For years I have watched you. What is wrong, senor?
Wrong?
You were proud.
I must go. I must have left my money. I
understand, senor. I understand. Next time.
Si. Next time.
You would like another drink?
No. No, I must go.
Pedro, I've been looking for you.
Hey, John, am I not still Montoya?
What do you mean?
Have I fallen so far that...
What is it, Pedro?
Will you come with me?
Well, sure, but where?
I'm going to try to get another fight.
Like most Spaniards, Pedro Montoya was a man of great pride. In his mind, he lowered himself when he went to look for bulls to fight. He was sharply disappointed to find that he wasn't wanted. Worse, that he was laughed at. After he'd been chucked out of a couple of agents' offices, he took a swing at one of them. I grabbed his arm and got him out into the street.
I'm sorry, John. Sorry.
No harm done.
I should never lose my temper.
You and the rest of the guys in this world.
Agents. The agents say that I am all true.
Ah, what do they know, Pedro?
Why would they be without the Marador, huh? Without me?
Well, you're the ones telling me.
And even the bullfighters I know more. What's left? Rotten toreros like Tayo. Frauds.
Easy there, pal, easy.
Men who fight the bull because they must, for the sake of honor and sport. They are the real toreros.
Yeah, sure, Pedro. Want to try any more agents?
No. How about Tayo, huh?
What about him?
Maybe he can help, huh? A little talk with Tayo.
Pedro, if I could do something to help, I would. It's just that, well, after your last fight...
You don't think your words, if spoken to the right ears, would help, huh?
I...
Oh, Tayo, I love my new room so much.
There was a time when the women were loyal to their men.
You thought I loved you? Hey, what a joke.
You think I am surprised?
No, I never loved you. I tolerated you. You took me places. You spent money, that's all. And now Tayo and I are going to be married. After his fight tomorrow. And it is not his last fight. I will be his wife while he is a hero. Not when he is finished, washed up, a scared old man who runs from the bull.
Tayo fights tomorrow.
See, he fights in what was to have been your place. Oh, don't look so shocked, my dear ex-torero. He's good. He has been acclaimed by all. Now you get out and leave us alone.
Come on, Pedro. Let's get out of here.
I was going. But first, what bull does he fight?
One of my father's finest. Diablo.
I will be there to watch.
What are you doing, Pedro?
Taking off my shoes, naturally. Now, may I have my cape, John?
Hey, wait a minute. You can't.
That's exactly what I am going to do.
But Pedro, if you work him now, he'll be ruined for the ring.
No one will know that.
But Pedro, the bull will learn after a few passes that he's not after the cape, that it's the man who is his real enemy.
That is true, but he won't learn tonight. I'll tease him just enough so that when he is in the ring tomorrow, he will know. After a few passes, he will go for the man.
No, Pedro, you can't do that.
My cape, John.
But Tayo fights Diablo tomorrow.
I know. Quickly, my cape. He's seen us. Here he comes.
He shook the muleta violently. Diablo trotted forward, cantered, then burst into a full gallop. He charged hard across the expanse of yellow moonlight toward the tantalizing figure. I sprinted for the fence, slipped under it, and turned in time to see Pedro raise the cloth slightly. That was the only movement he made as the razor-sharp horn sliced by 5 inches from his leg. With cold, hard calculation, Pedro worked the bull. He was superb. He ran Diablo only 5 times. It's getting close to fight time, Pedro.
See, John.
Well?
Just because you don't approve of what I have done won't change it.
I've given you every chance, pal. You had all morning to stop this fight.
Stop it?
Known you a long time. You've got a temper, sure. But killing, I didn't think you could go through with it.
Tayo deserves to die.
That's not for you to decide. You're on the bull. And now you're going to stop this fight or I will.
My friend, if you force me to hold you in this room, I will.
I wouldn't try to stop me if I...
Come in.
Pedro, do not order me to leave till you hear me out.
On the contrary, please come in, Tayo.
Pedro has something he wants to tell you.
I hardly know how to begin.
Now, please, relax. Go right ahead.
While I grew up, you were my hero. I admired you and wanted to be like you. Last night, I saw what she and I were doing to you. I did not know what she was until last night. Then I saw.
Tayo, please sit down.
We are through now.
What's to become of her, huh?
It does not matter now.
Now's as good a time as any, Pedro.
And you were right, Pedro. I could have helped you.
Huh?
See,
huh?
I have spoken to those in a position to decide bullfight matters.
You have...
See, Pedro, I have made arrangements for you to fight again.
You tired of vaca. You have helped me.
I did not think to amuse you, Pedro.
Forgive me, Tayo, forgive me. I was just thinking.
This afternoon you fight. You fight in my place against Diablo. I will go now, but I will be at the arena to watch. Good luck.
Thank you, Tayo.
Well, that's settled. A real guy, huh?
Si, John. As you say.
You're coming along, Pedro.
I misjudged him. I was afraid of dying, not afraid of the bull. Now the opposite is true. I am afraid of the bull, not of death.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not thinking of going
certainly,
into that...
my friend, I am going into the ring this afternoon. I will fight the great Diablo.
I'm going down to the plaza and call this whole thing
no,
off.
No, you're not. You are not.
Let go of me.
I hate to do this, John. I'm sorry, but in Spain, a bullfighter is a bullfighter.
I should have known, John.
How could you?
The way he laughed when I told him he was to fight in my place.
No other course.
It was a glorious fight.
Yeah.
The master. Only Pedro could convince the bull who has been worked to chase the cape.
He did, for a while. You watched a brave man, Tayo.
Superb. Superb in his mastery. I am only sorry you got to the plaza too late to stop him.
Yeah.
You had better get aboard, John.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, goodbye, Tayo.
We will never see a braver man. I only hope I become half the torero he was.
Yeah, I hope you do. Friends, you've just heard The Cape or the Shroud. You know, the other day I read a small article in the paper saying that Tayo de Vaca had retired from the ring after an amazing career that had set new standards in bullfighting. The last line of the article said he'd retired to his bull ranch with his beautiful wife, Carmen. Well, you never can tell about people.
Remember to be with us next week for another episode in the series John Steele, Adventurer.
John Steele, Adventurer, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 7th, 1954 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to the Joseph Conrad story, Typhoon, broadcast on Escape. During radio's yesteryear, Conrad's stories were adapted on This Is My Best with Orson Welles, The World's Greatest Novels, an NBC program, and the NBC University Theater, who tackled three of his stories, Lord Jim, Heart of Darkness, and Victory. This episode next marks the first time Typhoon was adapted on air from July 28, 1947 on CBS.
Escape! Escape tonight to the China Seas in Typhoon.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations presents Escape. A new series of programs, of which this, the fourth, is Typhoon by Joseph Conrad. Produced and directed by William N. Robeson.
Of all the great authors who wrote of the sea, none so captured the wonder and the horror of it as did Joseph Conrad. Tonight, we escape to the China Seas in his great story, Typhoon, told in the words of a certain Mr. Jukes, chief mate of the China coast steamer Nan Shan, a young man of very remarkable perceptions.
Ah, I've been sailing the China Sea long enough to see some strange and terrible things, but nothing as bad as that was. Why, God himself forgot us, and the whole blinking universe set out to do us in that night. It was the... Oh, but that comes later. I guess you can't really understand what happened on board the Nanshan without knowing something about our skipper, Captain McWhirr. Stupid McWhirr, I called him. And after sailing with him for 3 years, I ought to know what I'm talking about. Why, I tagged him right off first day he came aboard to take command. In Liverpool it was. And Mr. Siggs, who was one of the owners, was showing him around the deck.
There's no more modern ship afloat. I might say again that you've come to us very highly recommended, Captain McWhirr. We've a great deal of confidence in you.
Thank you, Mr. Siggs.
She's a brand new ship and a good ship. There's no reason why you shouldn't continue in command of her as long as you like.
Well, that's fine.
She'll be the smartest thing afloat in the China trade. Why, she's put together like a Swiss watch. Precision built from stem to stern.
Wait, just a minute, Mr. Siggs.
What is it?
That lock.
Lock? What lock?
Here, on the cabin door.
What about it?
You'll notice how it's been set in the frame, somewhat cocked at an angle. The ship starts rolling a bit, and the first thing you know, it snaps open and leaves the door swinging. It really should be fixed, Mr. Siggs.
That's Captain McWhirr, the best berth he'd ever had. New command, a brand new ship. When instead of pinching himself to see if he's awake, he complains about a lock on the cabin door.
Yes,
see what I mean?
Captain McWhirr, I see what you mean. I'll have it attended to right away. I think you'll do all right.
Thank you, Mr. Siggs.
Well, everybody knows what the China coast is. You haul out of Bangkok for a quick run up to Singapore and then shove off for Hong Kong. 2 days ashore, and you do it all over again. 3 years of it. 3 years of heat, smells, weather, copra, silk, and tea. Along in there somewhere, the owners decided to transfer the ship's registry to the Siamese flag. Don't ask me why. They just did, that's all. Anyway, I can tell you I didn't like it. When you grow up under the Union Jack, you figure to go on sailing under it. Not that the skipper, of course, could understand that kind of a feeling. Oh, no. Not old stupid McWhirr.
Aye? What is that, Mr. Jukes?
They just sent the new flag out from shore, sir. Here it is.
Oh, fine, fine. Unroll it. Let's have a look. Ah, yes.
In my opinion, sir, it's a queer kind of flag for a man to sail under.
Oh? And what's the matter with it?
Well, it just looks queer to me, that's all.
Well, now, let's see. A white elephant on a red field. Oh, just a minute. I'll look it up in the book. Here we are. Siam. White elephant on a field of bright red. Length exactly twice the breadth. So. Well, there's nothing wrong with this flag, Mr. Jukes.
Oh, isn't there?
Not a thing. I hardly thought there could be. After all, these people ought to know how to make their own flag. It stands to reason.
Does it now?
You must have it confused with some other flag, Mr. Jukes.
Well, all I can say
is... Of course, you'll have to take care the seamen don't hoist the elephant upside down. That is, before they're quite used to it.
I
presume it might be taken for a signal of distress. And in that case, the way I see it, that elephant stands for something like the nature of a Union Jack in the British flag.
Oh, you think so? Well, it's like a bloomin' Noah's Ark. That's what it is.
Mr. Jukes.
I'm sorry, sir.
I can't see where the color of a flag could anywise affect the navigation of a ship.
All right, sir. I'll instruct the hands. It'd certainly be a most distressful sight to see that elephant hoisted upside down. Well, that was Captain McWhirr. Couldn't get a thing through his head if you drew him a picture. And that's the skipper we had to sail under on the maddest, wildest trip that any coaster ever took. We were loading out in Singapore. Half the cargo had already come aboard. The sun was blazing and the smoke from our stacks hung over the decks like a blanket. The Nanshan's winches puffed away aft. The cargo chains creaked and clattered across the combings. I was in the waist supervising the loading when Mr. Rout, the chief engineer, came up.
Hey there, Jukes. What's going on down there on the dock? Looks like a blooming army.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Rout. Must be a mob of coolies on the move.
Here comes the captain. Could be some of his doing.
Mr. Jukes.
Aye, sir.
Keep the port between dead clear of cargo. There'll be 200 coolies coming aboard, and we'll plan to bunk them down there.
Good Lord, where are they bound?
Fu Chau. We'll have to put in there this trip.
Yeah, but we're not fixed to handle passengers, sir.
Oh, they'll bring supplies aboard with them. Every man's got a camphor wood chest, so you'll have to nail deck buttons down there to keep them from sliding.
Yes, sir, I'll see to it.
They've all been working on a plantation north somewhere. 2-year contract. They're dying to get home. It wouldn't have been quite right to turn them down. You may as well start them coming aboard, Mr. Jukes.
All right, sir. Ollie number one, boy, Ollie same. Listen, you savvy, huh? Ollie fellow, catch him here. Topside, catch him, step, step. Bottom side, Ollie time, chop, chop. Single file now. One fellow, one time, all the time. What do you suppose they carry in those boxes?
Oh, I suppose their personal belongings, Mr. Jukes. And, of course, their 2 years' pay in silver dollars.
Well, they're as vicious a looking bunch of murderers as I've ever seen.
Murderers? Oh, come now, Mr. Jukes. One or two of them, maybe. But in the main, I'd say they're honest workmen. Have to be to stick out a 2-year contract on one of these plantations.
Just the same, sir. We'd better not take any chances.
Oh, I checked the lading weights carefully, Mr. Jukes. We can carry them without any overloading at all. But
I mean that... All right, sir. I'd better go hide the silverware in the officer's mess.
He's a hard lad to understand sometimes.
I could say I had a premonition right then, and I wouldn't be lying. Anyway, that's how it started. At the hottest time of the year, 200 half-civilized coolies aboard, a captain with no more imagination than you could stick in your ear, we steamed out from Singapore and laid a course for the port of Fu Chau.
Jukes, I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
What don't you like about it, Mr. Rowe?
Well, the looks of things. Something ominous about it.
Oh, there's a bit of a swell running all right. There's not a breath of wind. It's uncommonly hot, that's all. Gives a man the jumps. You're as bad as the second mate. He's been groaning around like the voice of doom all day.
Well,
Mr. Jukes!
Oh, that's the old man. I'll see you later. Keep your steam up, Mr. Rowe. You calling me, Captain?
I was, Mr. Jukes. What was all the long conversation with Mr. Rout?
Oh, why, nothing much, sir. I didn't see any harm in talking a bit. I'm not on watch, you know.
Oh, no, nothing wrong with it, nothing at all. I just wondered what you could find to talk about.
Well, different things, I don't know.
I've seen people on shore sit around a table and talk for 2 or 3 hours. I never could understand it.
It's just conversation, that's all, about nothing in particular.
Seems pretty silly. Well, you've noticed the barometer, no doubt?
Yes, sir, it's dropping.
Falling fast, quite low now. Take a look.
I'll say it's dropping.
Bad time of the year for that sort of thing. Very bad.
Anything you want me to do, sir?
Oh, no. Must be some uncommonly dirty weather knocking about somewhere. Eh, Mr. Jukes?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's all. Just thought you ought to know about it, that's all. Carry on, sir, carry on.
Whoa, there's a heavy one all right, mate. Them coolies must be having a time of it down below. Lucky for them, the old girl rolls easier than any ship I've ever seen.
You just wait.
Oh, you think we may be in for it, huh?
Oh, no. I don't think anything. You're not going to make a fool out of me that way, Mr. Jukes. I didn't say a word.
What's the matter with you, Second? Why shouldn't you say what you think if you're a minder?
Oh, no, you don't catch me.
Whoa, there's another one. That's pretty rough. Now, whatever is about, we're steaming right into it.
You just try telling the old man that.
And why shouldn't I?
Matter of fact, I think I'll ask him about this cross swell. It's getting worse all the time.
I've known skippers to break some right good men for saying a whole lot less.
Captain McQuarrie.
Yes, Mr. Jukes. What is it?
The swell is getting a good deal worse, sir.
Yes, I noticed that in here. Anything wrong?
Well, I was thinking about the passengers.
Huh? What passengers?
Why, the coolies, sir.
Then if you mean coolies, say coolies, Mr. Jukes. A man ought to say what he means. What about the coolies?
She's rolling her decks full of water, sir. I thought you might want to put her head at the swell for a bit, until this goes down, of course.
So that's it, eh? Put her head at the swell, 4 points off the coast.
Well, it's just for a while, sir. A swell as high as this can't last long. That stands to reason.
Mr. Jukes, take a look at the barometer.
Good Lord.
Yes, exactly. It's a dead calm outside, isn't it?
There's not a breath of air stirring, sir. Only that cross swell.
I've been reading in the book here about storms. It's a funny thing. If a man believed everything written down here, he'd spend half his life running to get behind the weather. If I was to go by what this fellow says, I'd alter my course and come booming into Funchal from the north. 4 days late, 300 extra miles in distance, and a pretty bill for coal on top of it. I tell you, Mr. Jukes, if I knew every word in here was gospel true, I couldn't bring myself to do that.
No, sir, I guess not.
And how's a man to know if the book is right? If you dodge around a spot of dirty weather, how do you ever find out it was there in the first place? Answer me that. No, Mr. Jukes, there's things that a man can't get from books. I've thought it all out this afternoon. We'll hold her steady as she goes.
Whatever you say, sir, you're the captain. I guess I'd better write up the log. I'm going on watch.
Good. I dare say we're heading into something a bit out of the ordinary. Call me at once if anything shows up in the night, Mr. Jukes.
All right, sir. I'll see to it.
And, Mr. Jukes.
Yes, sir.
If you're going into the chart room, please close that blinking door. I can't stand here a door banging.
Yes, sir.
8 p.m. Swell increasing. Ship laboring heavily and taking water on all decks. Still a dead calm and very hot. Batten down the coolies for the night. The barometer is still falling. All appearances indicate an approaching typhoon.
All right, Hackett, hold her steady as she goes. That's all we can do.
Aye, sir. I'll sure try to.
Well, do the best you can.
Aye, aye, sir. Mr. Jukes.
Hi, Captain, I'm coming. Stand by!
Over here, Mr. Jukes. Starboard bridge rail.
Right, sir. Coming over.
Mr. Jukes, why didn't you call me?
Well, there was no warning, sir. It is all of a sudden, about 5 minutes ago, blasted right out of a dead calm.
The book was right in some parts, anyhow. How's it going in the wheelhouse?
Hackett is... Look out, sir. Hang on!
What about Hackett?
He's on the wheel. Second is putting up shutters. The window glass will go if she starts breaking any higher.
Oh, she'll break higher, Mr. Jukes. Much higher.
It's a happy thought.
You haven't altered her course?
No, sir. Heading straight at the wind.
Good. Nothing else we can do, Mr. Jukes. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Some things a man can't find in books. Just keep her at it. That's all. Help, Mr. Jukes. Hammering through a mess like this, you're bound to leave something behind. Stands to reason. Hold hard. She's still rising, all right. That one broke over the wheelhouse.
We're done for sure.
What's that, Mr. Jukes? You say something?
I said. Is there any chance at all, sir? Can she live through it?
She may. We can hope so long, at least. She's a good ship. That's all a man can ask. What's that? Somebody yelling?
It's below us on the foredeck, sir. Up here, starboard bridge.
Man shouldn't be on that deck unless he has to. It's a bit dangerous.
Are you there, sir?
Over here. What's the trouble, bosun?
In Chinese, sir.
Wait, hang on.
The Chinese. What about them?
They've all fetched away, sir. One big lump. It's horrible.
Yeah, now what do you mean, fetched away?
Rolling around in a hold in one big lump. Screaming like blooming maniacs, sir. All adrift.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes, sir.
I can't make head nor tail of this. I guess you'd better go below and see to it.
Well, what shall I do, sir?
I can't tell you up here. Find out what's wrong. Straighten it out. That's all.
That's all.
Take the bosun with you. I'm going to try for the wheelhouse.
All right, sir. Come on, bosun.
Aye, sir.
Just straighten it out.
That's all.
Well, how's the wheel stand, Hackett?
As steady as she goes, sir.
You realize, of course, we've hit a typhoon.
Aye, sir.
Sorry I can't give you relief. Can you manage a while longer?
I'll hold her to the course, sir. As long as there's a ship beneath her.
That won't be long.
Oh, anything wrong, Sackett?
Wrong! We're all as good as dead men, that's what's wrong.
Oh, now, I wouldn't say that. She's still afloat. And we've got it lucky here on deck. Plenty of chance to see what's coming before it hits us. A man always feels better when he can see what's coming. But it's a different story down below there. Not having knowledge of what's going on. Not knowing if we're afloat or sinking. Now, there's the lads that's got it tough. The ones down there in the engine room.
Now for the steam to drop. Here, ride that throttle, Beals. And let her rip her shaft out when she breaks clear of the swells. Hello, bridge. Hello, bridge. Confounded, why don't they answer the speaking tube? Can't tell if they're dead or alive up there. Hello? Hello?
Yes, Mr. Rout?
Captain, how is it on deck?
Bad enough. It depends mostly on you.
Well, so far so good. We're holding a full head of steam.
Good. We'll need it.
Don't let me drive her under, sir.
Have to take a chance. Can't see 20 feet up here. Got to keep moving enough to steer.
I understand, sir. Count on us.
Getting smashed about a good deal, but doing fairly well. As long as the wheelhouse stands. Wait, hold on.
Hello. Hello.
Is that the captain, Mr. Rout? I've got to talk to him right away.
Wait a minute, Jukes. Something's happened up there. Hello. Hello, Bridge.
You still there, Mr. Rout?
Right. Anything wrong, sir?
No, not now. The second mate's lost, though.
Overboard?
Oh, no. Lost his nerve. Awkward circumstance. Had to knock him out, too. You back.
You hear that, Jukes?
Yes, let me talk to him. Captain, Jukes here. The bosun and I just took a look at the tween deck. It's them bloomin' boxes, sir. They've all broke loose and smashed to bits. And the coolies are fighting like crazy men for them silver dollars that's rolling around.
Fighting? We can't have fighting on board, Mr. Jukes.
There are 200 of them, sir. They're all trying to kill each other.
I can't have it, Mr. Jukes. Put a stop to it at once, do you hear?
Put a stop to it? How? They're crazy mad. They'll kill anybody that came on that deck.
You're second in command, Mr. Jukes. Use your authority. Make it clear to them. We simply can't have fighting.
Make it clear to them?
Oh, yes, sir. After that, you'd better gather up all the money. I can't have it lying about on the deck. Get the bosun to help you. Wait, here it comes.
Gee, Arsifat. There's the one that does it. That must have swept the deck from stem to stern. Hello. Hello, Captain McGuire. You all right up there?
Everything's all right, Mr. Rouch. All the boats and half the starboard rail carried away. Nothing serious. There's nothing to worry about, Mr. Rouch. Carry on.
Nothing to worry about. Carry on. Hey, you're all right, Captain. As you say, sir, carry on.
Carry on?
Hey, now, where are you going? Where are you going, eh?
Where do you think I'm going, you loudmouthed old windbag? Out on that deck to get myself murdered.
Nothing serious, Jukes. Nothing to worry about.
The whole bloomin' world's falling apart, and I'm out picking up silver dollars. Captain's orders. Come on, bosun.
Don't miss any of them, Jukes. Carry on, boy. Carry on.
Why, sir, look at him. Sure death to go among them.
No help for it. Our gallant skipper says to stop the fighting. Use our authority. All right, then, quiet down. Come on, bosun.
Aye, sir.
Do it there, you fools. Cut it out now, do you hear me? Authority, huh? You're clean out of their heads. We got to drive them to the bulkhead. Back up, though. Hey, none of that.
Stay to it, Bosun. You gotta show him what for, nothing else to do. Back up there! Captain's orders, you know. Follow me, Bosun.
I do, sir. No, you don't. I was just thinking, sir.
Yeah, what about it? Back there, no fighting allowed. Skipper's orders.
I was just thinking. Oh, you don't. Thinking, what if me old lady could see me now?
She'd say, oh, you jolly sailor lad. Keep over there. Jam him up, Bosun, into the bulkhead. Captain. Where are you, Captain?
Over here, Mr. Jukes. You got everything cleared up down below?
Oh, yes. We took care of everything, sir.
I thought you would. The wind fell all at once, stopped cold. It's been like this for 10 minutes now.
If you think it was an easy job to bring that mob under control...
The coolies? Oh, I dare say it wasn't. Had to do what's fair by them, though. Mr. Jukes, that barometer in there stands at the lowest point I've ever seen a glass in my life.
You mean there'll be more of it?
The worst yet, according to the book. It'll break sudden now. Any minute. A puff or two of wind, and then it hits.
She's taken a horrible beating, sir.
She has indeed. And she's in for a worse one.
We haven't much chance, have we, sir?
She may come through it. She's a good ship.
There's the first puff.
It'll hit us hard when it comes. You left them pretty safe, did you?
The coolies? We strung lifelines, gives them something to hold on to.
Good. I'd like to give them all the chance we can, whatever happens.
Oh, they'll be all right, sir. I broke out rifles for 8 of the crew. Put them to guarding all the companionways leading off the teen deck.
You armed the crew, Mr. Jukes?
Oh, sure. We won't have any trouble with them now, sir.
Mr. Jukes, please have those rifles returned to the magazines at once.
What?
There'll be work for every man aboard in a few minutes. I can't spare seamen to stand around and hold rifles when it isn't necessary.
Isn't necessary? Don't you realize those savages will think we stole their money? But they'll tear us to bits if they ever get out of that deck.
Oh, I think they'll understand we're dealing fair by them. Collect the rifles, Mr. Jukes.
Captain, it's suicide. The best thing we can do is turn the whole mess over to the authorities in Fu Chau, if we ever get there.
Well, I don't know. I figure that when anything happens on shipboard, it's up to me to settle it on shipboard. Part of the duties of commanding a vessel, Mr. Jukes. I've no doubt I'll be able to reach an understanding with these men later.
Understanding? You ought to have seen him a while ago when me and the bosun was down there.
Lost their heads a bit, I guess. No wonder at that when... Here she comes. Pick up those rifles, Mr. Jukes, and something else.
Yes, Captain.
If anything happens to me, you'll be in charge. Only advice, keep her facing it. Best way to get through, facing it. That's enough for any man.
All right, Captain, I'll remember.
And one thing more, Mr. Jukes.
Yes, sir.
Something that always helps at sea is to keep a cool head. Just keep a cool head, Mr. Jukes.
Oh, no, keep a cool head. A stitch in time saves nine, a rolling stone. What in the name of heaven do you do with a man like that?
It was a clear blue sky and bright sunshine the morning we steamed into Fu Chau Harbor. Mr. Rout was leaning on a hatch combing, smoking a pipe, and the bosun lounged on the foredeck, waiting to pick up a line from the wharf. And the captain? Well, he was engaged in the most unusual occupation.
Keep moving.
He was sitting at a table on the foredeck, handing out silver dollars to them blinking coolies, all divided up even, the same amount to each one. Craziest thing you ever heard of in your life. You see, the way the captain figured it, since those blighters had all worked for 2 years at the same rate of pay, then their savings ought to all be about equal. As you can see, of course, that wasn't necessarily true by any means. Wasn't even legal. But you couldn't tell him anything.
Well, that's that. Mr. Jukes?
Yes, sir. Coming, Captain.
Well, Mr. Jukes, I've disposed of our little collection of silver dollars.
Ah, that's great. Only wait till those boys get ashore and file claims against us.
Oh, no, they won't do that. As a matter of fact, they were quite pleased at having it arranged that way. Figured it might avoid a lot of arguments later. They sent a spokesman to thank me.
Well, I'll be...
Mr. Jukes, you may as well give all the hands 6 hours' leave before we start working the cargo.
Whatever you say, Captain.
Oh, yes, and before the carpenter leaves, I wish you'd have him fix the lock on that port cabin door.
What?
That seems to have got broken somehow. During the storm, I suppose. I can't stand to hear a door banging, Mr. Jukes.
Aye, sir. I don't suppose it matters that the ship is battered from stem to stern, half her topside carried away and smashed till she looks like a bloomin' Tinson freighter.
Mr. Jukes, I don't understand you.
You don't understand me, sir? Do you understand that we've come through the worst typhoon on the China Seas in 20 years? We're the only ship that got through?
It's true. I suppose we were a bit lucky.
Lucky, sir? With 200 murdering cutthroats running loose aboard and the very heavens doing their worst?
We had a job to do and we did it. That's all, Mr. Jukes. That's the important thing.
Yes, sir. That's all. That's all, he says. A job to do. A bit lucky. What can you do with a man as thick as that? But then, as I started to turn away, Captain McQuarrie said something else that surprised me. With emotion wrung from the very bottom of his soul, he uttered words I never thought I'd hear coming from so stupid a man.
But I'm glad we brought her through, Mr. Jukes. Truly I am. She's a good ship, Mr. Jukes. A good ship. I should have hated to lose her. I should have hated to lose her.
Typhoon by Joseph Conrad was adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield and produced and directed by William N. Robeson, with Frank Lovejoy as Jukes, Raymond Lawrence as Captain McQuarrie, and Cy Kendall as Ralph the Engineer.
Escape, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 28, 1947 on CBS, adapting Joseph Conrad's Typhoon. And that wraps this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.